Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I feel like whenever we talk about protesters, I get an angry email from somebody, but I gotta bring this up.
Okay.
So Taylor Swift's private jet ended up in a crosshairs of political protest.
Yeah, I saw that actually, yeah.
So the environmentalists, they tagged multiple planes in the airfield that she landed at, but they actually missed hers.
Yeah.
They missed the target.
I heard about this. This is the same people actually that hit Stonehenge just a couple days before. I got to tell you, I mean, I'm here for everybody to do their protest, get their message out and all that, but I just don't get it, man.
No, I don't
get attacking history. And, you know, honestly, if you spray paint Taylor Swift's jet with orange paint, it's not going to bother me. It's probably not going to bother her either.
I know. She's just going to get it fixed.
Yes.
She's just going to get it painted over.
Yeah, with another polymer paint. So therefore, you are contributing to more destructive forces and chemicals out there. Huh. Protesters, take that information.
Let's see if you can hear this. This is them sawing through the gate. Now, remember, they're posting all this online.
Yeah. They're sawing through the gate like they're James Bond. It's like a spy thing.
Now, here's them spraying the other jets because I can't figure out which one is Taylor's orange.
I want to see if we can get that one.
She's trying to go get another one. Now, keep in mind, they're posting this all on social media. This is on TMZ right now.
Yeah.
Like, we can see you, lady. You're going to get in trouble.
These are trust fund babies that are basically looking to get arrested. That's part of their badge of honor.
My name's Paul. I'm 22, and I just sprayed two private jets orange.
I'm 22, and I just sprayed two private jets orange. That's what she just said.
This is going to make me sound terrible, but get a job. I'm just saying.
I mean, I tell this story all the time, but my husband works a lot overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many environmental protesters overseas. America doesn't light a candle to what they're doing over there. There has been so many times where he has texted me and be like, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it home. They glued their hands to the floor again at the airports. And I'm like, there's got to be a point where you're like, you're interrupting everybody's life.
Mm.
I understand what your message is very important to you and you want to share it. I get it. I am all about the First Amendment and doing it. But when I just want my husband to get home so I can see him and he can see his kids, like, you're gluing your hands to the tarmac. What is that proving?
Yeah, you know what you've also seen in other countries is when the people in traffic get fed up, they don't handle it like we do here in America, where we just sit in our cars and wait for the authorities. They get out and drag people.
But that's what I was thinking. I'm like, you get out there. And I'm like, so mad. I'm like, you tell them they got 10 minutes. Otherwise, this train is going, you know? 6, that's the magic number of arguments you have every weekend with your friends and family. Now, they call them dumb arguments.
Mm.
I think some arguments are more ridiculous than others, for sure.
Yeah, say that not everything is life and death.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when you're with somebody all the time, too, it's the more petty things that really come up.
Well, and your friends and family, that's who you're most comfortable around.
Sure.
Raven, producer John, producer Sean, let's see, who had the dumbest argument of the weekend? Here's one I had with my 15-year-old daughter yesterday.
I don't want to share a luggage with my sister.
We just don't have the room. You can't have your own luggage, otherwise it's not going to fit in the rental car.
Yeah, but she's going to have to bring, 12 of her drinks, and those take up a lot of space.
But her clothes are so small. Would you rather share your luggage with Daddy like I have to?
I'd rather share it with you, and then they can share luggage, because at least our clothes are similar.
I mean, if I have to argue with somebody in my family anymore about the luggage situation, I don't know what I'm going to do.
It is a bit of a catch-22, if I might say, because my family is going on vacation, and they're packing, and it's like, I can understand where Hayden's coming from. Because my nine-year-old stepson is packing so much stuff. I'm like, you're not going to use half this on vacation. Don't need this.
They think it's the important things that they're going to need, though, right? Like, you know, it's like Goonies. You're planning for any sort of situation that could arise, basically, at this point. You know what? One thing that's weird to me is that when I say luggage, I mean multiple bags. When I say suitcase, I mean one bag. One bag. It's just a weird thing. It just keeps triggering me.
It's weird for you.
It is weird for me.
No, when you talk about a luggage, it's
I say luggage. Luggage to me is a luggage set. I will call something a luggage.
You saying a luggage?
A luggage.
Just now felt weird. That right? That did feel weird.
It's
I was
not
on
something
your
people say
until you said
are
the
you
term
sure?
a
yes,
luggage.
Pretty oh. sure that's not something people say.
A
suitcase. Luggage is like you've got luggage. You've got like your suitcase. You've got your carry on. Like that's luggage.
I call my suitcase luggage. This is my luggage.
Right. This is your luggage, but it's not a luggage.
Okay.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's weird.
Moving on.
Looks like this dumb argument continues.
All right. Here's the next dumb argument.
You ever think of entering a thumb war championship?
Yeah.
That'd be the most embarrassing first loss for you, besides losing to me 6 times.
You wish.
What do you mean I wish? It just happened. Can you just admit that I'm better at thumb wars than you?
You are better at thumb wars than me. And now will you shut up?
Producer Sean, would you shut up, please?
Yeah. I mean, somebody that dedicates time to thumb wars.
Don't challenge the master if you can't handle the heat, okay?
That's what your girlfriend, Rachel. Sean, when it comes to thumb wars, I always find it fascinating how quickly it escalates and turns violent. You ever notice that?
Well, let me ask you a question, John. Hold my hand here, okay?
Oh, gosh.
Fine.
Is it illegal, like, if we're doing thumb wars for us to move our hands around like this?
Yes.
I don't know.
Flat on the table, right?
It's thumb wars, because it's not a real thing, so it doesn't really matter. I can't stand when I get into a thumb war with somebody that's super violent. Next thing I know, it's like they've got the other arm putting me in a headlock. I'm like, what are we doing here?
Don't agree to it. Don't ever get into it.
Yeah. Sean, here's John's.
Nope, James, stop. What do you want to bring back?
Those things. That's what I'm doing.
I know, but buddy, those are that's the forks and knife for everybody else in the restaurant.
But I'm trying to get the bento.
I know, but we can't do that right now. We can't actually do that for real.
I'm doing it.
No, buddy. Buddy, you need to put it back on the table.
I can't.
He can't.
You know, let the kid steal the silverware. Let him do it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he wants to be a stormtrooper. He wants to be a police officer. He wants to be a pirate. And then sometimes he just wants to be a server. Like, dude, I don't know. I mean, I'd rather be a pirate than have my job. Wouldn't you rather just be a pirate? The pirate won't steal the silverware off someone else's table.
It is confusing. They're like, I just used this fork and knife. Why do I have to leave it here? Why can't I just take it home with me? It's mine now. I mean, I kind of agree with him in a lot of ways. Wow, it was a big weekend in Taylor Swift's world and all the rest of us that live in it. She had 3 shows at Wembley Stadium in London. She's going to be back in August to do 5 more sold-out shows there.
I mean, what a great place to play, right? Like 90,000 people at that place every single night. I mean, that's a huge deal.
It was eventful for sure. It started on Friday night. It was a birthday boy, Prince William. He took Princess Charlotte and Prince George to see the show.
Okay.
If you have not seen Prince William dancing to Shake It Off, you have to. I mean, he cut loose.
Is he shockingly good or shockingly bad? Which one is it?
It's such dad dancing that it's hard not to love it.
Okay.
You know, it's just like he's going for it. And actually, his kids they're not even that close to him. He's just dancing by himself.
Listen, man, if you're going to be king, you can't let it fly if you're going to be king?
But it was...
I mean, why not?
The picture that they released, the selfie that the monarchy put out of him, the kids, and Taylor Swift taking a selfie is the cutest thing ever. Like, the joy in all of their faces. Like, it's... Usually, if you take a picture with Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift is the biggest person in the picture, right?
Sure.
But you can see that Taylor Swift is genuinely so excited to be in this picture. And for the first time ever, she took another picture, which has Travis Kelce, her boyfriend, in the picture. And that's the first time she ever released a photo of them together.
So, I'm shocked by this. I feel like their photos have been everywhere, but it's the first time she's ever posted a photo of the two of them?
It's the first time that she has publicly acknowledged that that's her man and that they are in this picture together.
I feel like she's been saying it everywhere, but okay.
Not really. Like, she's so incognito and sly and she puts it in. But then it gets a little bit weird. So Dave Grohl, you know, who's the front man for the Foo Fighters, he made a crack about Taylor Swift during his show because he was also playing in London Saturday night. He was down the street at London Stadium.
Yeah.
And Taylor was up,
also a big place.
Yeah, at Wembley Stadium. And here's what he said. He says, you don't want to suffer the wrath of Taylor Swift. Okay, all right, so then what?
So we like to call our tour the Eras Tour. We've had more than a few eras, and more than a few errors as well. That's because we actually play live. What?
He says, that's because we actually play live. What?
It seems unnecessary for Dave Grohl to say it. I don't know why.
Weird.
I don't know why it would come up because he's typically a nice guy. He's also a guy though that'll throw back a 12-pack before he goes on stage.
It's just,
so
and then he goes on and he says,
"You guys like rock and roll music, right? You came to the right place."
You know, saying like, you came to the right place if you came here to see me. To me, it felt cheap. It felt like, why would you even say that? And like, Dave Grohl has done interviews where he's talked about being at parties with Taylor Swift and them singing together. And it just seemed unnecessary. And then Taylor fired back in her usual Taylor way, which is all like, you know, like mysteries and whatever. And she wrote back the next night. She said, you know, welcome to the Eras Tour, where my band will be playing live for the next 3.5 hours for you. You know, and that's how her dig back.
You know, I mean, listen, I think everybody is completely invested in this more than they need to be. It seems unnecessary for him to say that, though. And it seems out of character. I mean, I know he respects her as a songwriter, so it doesn't seem...
Seems weird.
Yeah, it seems weird. If I had to guess again, I think he probably had a few pops before he said that. And I mean, listen, to say that your band makes mistakes, there's nothing wrong with that, obviously.
No.
And to think that there's not a backing track to anything that the Foo Fighters are doing or whatever, too, is also false. All these bands use some of that. So
also, the biggest thing that happened that we're barely getting to is that Travis Kelce put on a costume and got on stage with her last night.
Yes.
And that was massive. And it was really cute. He carried her on stage right before she performed. He was part of the dancers. And he looked so, like, he fit in so much. It took the audience a heartbeat to realize that it was him.
I mean,
so that
just
was a big deal.
Propose already.
No, we got to wait. We got to wait.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people are getting ready to go on vacation, flying all across the world. Now, normally, everything is fine, but every once in a while, something goes wrong. And we started thinking about it because last week we had Dr. Jennifer Weider on, and she told us this story.
I have a serious fear of flying. Like, I had an emergency landing once. So it took me, I had a lot of therapy to get back on a plane. I didn't fly for 11 years because of that emergency landing.
What happened?
They thought the wheels blew out on the takeoff. And so they thought they would need to land the plane on its belly. And so we circled and practiced like holding our ankles and putting our head into the seat cushion. And this was my first flight by myself. I was on my way to a sorority convention.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was freaking out, completely freaking out. And they foamed the runway. And it turned out that I think several of the wheels were okay, they were viable, but the irony is that you can't, you know, the pilot can't look in a rearview mirror and look at the wheels.
Right.
So you just have to, like, you know, say a Hail Mary and try to land the plane, which he did. It was a very rocky landing, but I was traumatized.
That's scary.
Seems like a silly thing, right? Let's put a camera down there on that landing bay. I had a similar situation, except there was no foaming of the runway or anything like that. They didn't tell us to put our heads between our knees, but they got on the intercom and said that they thought they had a tire blowout. But, you know, it's a big plane. There were other tires. So what's the worst flight experience you ever had?
I can't even complain because it wasn't scary like this. I mean, I've had some bad turbulence rides.
Sure.
But one time I was probably about 27, 28 years old, and I have a sister who's significantly younger than me. She's almost 10 years younger than me. And I was bringing her and two of her friends out to LA and San Diego.
Yeah.
That was the plan, is we were gonna go out there and whatever. And we get on the flight, and all of a sudden, I immediately fall asleep. I am the person that sleeps for the entire flight.
I love that.
I can't, before takeoff, I'm asleep. I'll wake up as we're landing. So I immediately fall asleep, and one of the girls comes and taps me on the shoulder, and she was like, Anne, I'm like, are we here? And I looked at her. She's like, they're turning the plane around. And I'm like, what? She's like, we're turning the plane around. So like after an hour and a half of the flight, they turned the plane around and went back. So whatever problem they were having, I don't know. They were having like some kind of mechanical issue, but I don't understand. We already made it. Almost like that far. Why would we turn the plane around? So they turned the plane around, they landed, and then to get on another flight, we had to separate. And that scared the heck out of me because I was in charge of these 17-year-old girls.
I mean, that's more like organizational, though. That's got nothing to do with a plane.
So we were supposed to land in L.A., and they diverted the flight. Now, two separate flights.
Yeah.
Now they diverted the flight I was on to San Diego. So now I had to go to San Diego while two of the girls that I was in charge with was landing in L.A., rent a car, and go and get them.
You had to drive?
Yeah.
From San Diego? Oh, that's like 4 hours.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's a long time.
It was a weird 2 days. And like a panic 2 days. And for 27 years old, I thought I handled it really responsibly.
You know, I mean, I've had a couple situations. I had a time one time when I left Vegas, and I swear it was so bad, the Santa Ana winds were going on, and it was so bad, and we went like vertical leaving the airport, I remember, and it was like you could hear the engine screaming, and literally like you could feel it. You know, a lot of times when you're going up in the air, like you don't feel the degrees of the plane going up. This time you did. Like, and that was pretty scary. And you, like, the plane was like vertical and the engines are screaming and you feel like you're not climbing. Mm. That was a little bit nerve-wracking.
Yeah. So many people getting ready to board flights and they're going on vacation, summer vacation time. Now, here's the good news. Only 5.4 million planes go down.
I mean, why would you even?
I just feel like we should put it out there. It happens.
Do they even go down? It's like a mechanical issue or something like that. Yeah. Okay.
But I think if you travel enough, you know that sometimes there's issues on the plane, and you know you keep hearing all these stories of the things that are happening with these airlines. So what happened when you were flying? 1-800-330-9999. Mia.
So I was supposed to land at LAX and. The weather was terrible, so we had to land in Ontario. And I don't know anybody in Ontario, and it's really far. And when we finally landed there, it was very, very tricky to actually land because it's a much smaller airport. But they were like, "You guys, we're gonna put you all in buses and take you back to LA." And I was like, "No, I'm gonna spend some money. I don't care, even if I don't have it, on an Uber." And go back to LA by myself.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, Ontario is going to bus you to Los Angeles?
First of all, I'll sue
the country of Canada.
What if they don't have a passport? Now you've illegally entered the country, and what if you escape the bus and you're a criminal?
Yeah, get out of here with that craziness.
What? That is nuts. Is that a legal thing that can happen?
I mean, I guess it is. It happened to me. I'm talking about Ontario, California, though.
Oh, well, that's fine. Just take an Uber.
Yeah, well, I mean. My geography is not strong.
Dean, how about you? Where did your flight have to be diverted to or make an emergency landing?
Yeah, well, we were circling O'Hare, and there was, like, tornado weather, and it ended up just being circle, 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 circle for over an hour. O'Hare was my connecting flight. I missed my connecting flight, and I had to spend the night in O'Hare, which I don't know if you've ever spent the night in a airport, but it's not like the terminal with Tom Hanks. Like, they don't like you, you have to find somewhere. Like, you keep getting kicked up, and, like, it was a whole thing. And the airline never wanted to do anything. They didn't care. And it's like, I got religious. Like, I was, like, calling people. I mean, I don't know if you've circled in the air with, like, lightning and tornado weather, but it starts getting intense, I will say. That was not fun travel.
You start to wonder, is it worth it, right? Where should we go? Should we go to another airport? You're just like, try and land this thing in the street.
I know, but when you, like, circle, you're like, what are we doing? And then you start getting really antsy when you're up there, right? Mm. Producer Sean, what happened to you?
This is actually back in 2007. Me and my friends were heading back to New York from Finland. And within, like, an hour of us being in the air, like, they came over. Now, like, the lights are blinking and flashing, and it sounds like the engine's dying. But the guy comes over to the thing. He's like, welcome to Finnair. It's light having electrical problems. Need some petrol. Need to land in Norway.
What?
So we had to land in Norway and stay there for like 5 hours while the plane like refueled. But it was terrifying because it's like while you're on the plane.
Because you didn't know where Norway was? Is that what?
But no, I knew it was kind of close to where we were. I think it's Sweden or Finland, somewhere around there. But it was terrifying because, like, the lights are just flickering. Like, everything's going on and off. And like I said, it just sounded like the engine kept failing.
Yeah.
And we're like, what is going on? And then finally, he's like, oh, it's just, like, an electrical problem. Like, this doesn't sound electrical. This sounds like the engine is failing right now.
I got news for you, man. If you have an electrical problem on a plane, it's a big deal because, you know, there's a lot of electrical stuff going on the plane, right? Yes. Why is it scarier when you have problems over the ocean than it is anywhere else? Is it scarier for anybody else? Because it is kind of for me.
Because they're never going to find your body. Listen, that's why. That's why.
You're 30,000 feet in the air. It doesn't make any difference.
There's a lot of sharks in that ocean.
Right. Right.
It's not going to bother you then.
A lot of people flying. Summer vacation time. And I feel like you get a little bit nervous now because there's in the news all these stories about these flights with Boeing and the whistleblowers and the door that flew off that Alaska Airlines.
It was a while ago.
Right. But the truth of the matter is after I did some deep searching on the internet, actually pretty safe to fly. Like the average amount of flights that actually go down, your chance if you're on one of those flights, 1 in 5.4 million. Yeah, I'll take those odds. That's pretty good odds.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you're here to defend the FAA, Anna. It's so
fine.
Great. Yeah, I mean, you
everything's
definitely
good,
make
guys.
Me feel better.
We're legit.
You're a trustworthy source.
But sometimes things happen on the flight. What happened on yours? 1-800-330-9999. Phyllis.
So we went up in the air, and all of a sudden, everyone in the plane starts saying it smells like plastic, burnt plastic.
Yeah.
And the stewardess and all that, they're saying, it's okay, it's okay. And about 5 minutes in, we extended, and they said we'd have no flight till the next day. The weather explanation.
Okay.
Nothing about what happened, just sorry. That was the only flight today, and you're going to have to come back tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh, right?
That's the worst. I was just talking about this. Like, some of these smaller airports across the country, they're so convenient, and a lot of times their price is right, but they cancel their flight. There's no backup flights. And now you don't even know what was wrong with your plane.
Well,
they
could
have been lighting Barbies on fire.
They wouldn't tell us. And I had a wedding to get to, so they did pay for my, you know, car to get there, but it was pretty far, and I had a lot of children with me, so it was not an enjoyable drive.
Yeah.
But we did make it to the wedding, but burnt plastic in the cabin.
Phyllis, Anna, both of you, Phyllis and Anna, how many years airplane, aeronautics, mechanical experience do you have?
Me, I'm a professional.
Yeah.
Phyllis,
okay.
How about you?
Phyllis, you are also a professional?
Actually, it's kind of ironic. I was in the military, and I worked on helicopters.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So wait a minute. I mean, maybe they should tell Phyllis, but they shouldn't tell you, Anna.
Okay.
I mean, you have no idea what it is that they would be telling you anyways. Hey, let me ask you something, Phyllis. If there's an issue with your flight, would you rather get off that plane and get back on that plane an hour later, or give me another plane? I want a new plane.
I'm going to be honest. As long as they fix it, I'll get back on the same plane.
Okay, right. I mean, you were in the military, so I mean,
she knows
how
it works.
Yeah. Literally, you know, put a cotter pin on it, cut a little bit of bubble gum, and we're ready to go back in the air. Hey, Ron, what happened on your flight?
Oh, I thought it would be wonderful to videotape the takeoff. We start rocketing down the runway, climbing at that high angle like you've been kicked in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out looking out the window. Engine number 4 goes boom, and flames start raining out.
Oh, my God.
So we continue to 10, 12,000 feet and dump out jet fuel for 45 minutes before landing.
Yep.
So, yeah, we land and the emergency crew and ambulance and fire trucks and everything come.
Ron, you know that engine number 4 blew out because you were videotaping it. It was all your fault. You realize that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right.
You know it.
How was your second flight, though? Was your next flight fine?
Well, so at that point, the pilot said the pilots were hours and had to divert us to Michigan and pick up 2 new pilots and a co-pilot. And then we land in Michigan from Atlanta, Georgia. And on the way into the airport, the pilot comes in hot, dumps the airplane in hard, smokes all the brakes on the landing gear and blows out the tire. So 2 times in 1 day, I get to see ambulances and fire trucks.
Nice.
First of all, something was wrong with your pilot that they were going to pick up backup pilots and he landed the plane like
that. No, they have hours of restriction. They can't fly for 24 hours. They have to fly a certain amount of time and then there's breaks and all that stuff.
I don't know.
Dang union. Right.
I don't know about that.
45,000 average daily flights are going out every single day.
I mean, is that just that seems like only in the United States, maybe even that number seems actually kind of low to me right now. So, I mean, again, if you're somebody that gets freaked out around flights or around aircraft or whatever, I'm telling you, just park right next to a runway at an airport, any major or busy airport, do that for a few hours and you'll see the vast amount of aircraft that come in and land and take off every single day. And you'll be like, you know what? I'm fine. This is no big deal.
It says on average, there are approximately 9,700 planes in the air at any given moment carrying 1.27 million people.
I mean, that's a lot.
You know, you think about that amount of number because you're always afraid something is going to happen on your flight, right? The chances of that happening are so slim, but I feel like we've been hearing so much in the news lately about all these crazy things that have been happening with Boeing and the whistleblowers.
Pieces falling off of aircraft, right.
But did anything ever actually happen to you? Was your plane diverted? Did you have to make an emergency landing? Like, what happened?
I think one of the hairiest things for me was we were coming into Montego Bay one time, and the airport is, it's one of these ones, like on the islands, listen, the islands aren't very big, right? So when they have a runway, they could be right there next to the water. And I remember coming in and there was a crosswind and we're coming in and I'm like, oh, relax. And then it looked like all of a sudden we were in the ocean in the last 15 feet because it blew the plane over like 20 yards. And luckily the pilot corrected it. But I mean, they must be used to that, I guess. But it was hairy.
I always clap when it's like nice, clean landing. I'm like... I started. I'm like, all right.
That's such a 70s thing to do.
No, I think we should bring it back. I mean, why
not?
No,
I mean, like, if you were in your 70s.
Oh. Lisa, what happened to you on your flight?
I was on a nonstop flight from Vegas to Buffalo, coming home from Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And they said all of a sudden we have to make an emergency landing in the Denver airport. So everybody thought something was wrong with the plane. Come to find out there was a man up front that was having a heart attack, which that wasn't a good thing, but at least we knew the plane wasn't going down. So I guess that was kind of the
Did he make it?
The good part of it.
Was he all right?
He did make it.
Oh, that's good. Everything's fine.
Yep.
All right, cool.
He made it. The plane landed. We had to get off the plane and get on a different plane to make our way back to Buffalo, but...
But you saved
Everybody,
the life. We'll all be together.
Good story.
Hey, April, what happened on your flight?
So I was going to visit my daughter in Pensacola, Florida, who is a U.S. Marine, and she's in flight school. And the flight touched down in the airport and took off again. It went right back up in the air.
Okay.
And so later on when I was with my daughter and a bunch of her friends that are also in flight school, they were like, yeah, he came in too hard, huh? And I said, yeah, he came in really fast, and we landed and took right back off and went back up in the air, circled the airport, and came back down. It was a little scary.
Yeah, when you're in flight school or you're watching, like, you know, Top Gun or something like that, that seems like a thing. You're like, okay, look what they did. No big deal. When you're on a passenger aircraft, that's a little different.
It's terrifying is what it
a
is.
A little different.
Yeah. That would be a very different experience. Yeah.
And it turns out that the person flying the plane was the, I guess, second officer, the co-pilot.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're supposed to let them fly. I mean, how else do you learn?
I mean, at some point, you got to be like, give me back control of the plane, right?
I mean, I don't know.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, Gina, what happened on your flight?
Okay, so it was my 50th birthday, and I was coming home. My birthday was on Monday, and it was Sunday night, and the plane was delayed like 4 hours. So at midnight on my 50th birthday, I was still on the plane, and everybody on the plane wished me a happy birthday.
Did the airline comp you guys a free round?
No, they didn't do anything.
See, that's
they
sad.
Said we were,
well, no, you know what they did? They got you from point A to point B safely, unlike everybody else.
Oh. Yeah.
Remember going to camp? Going to camp for the first time.
Oh, man, it was awesome, actually.
I never got to go to camp. I never did. I was just babysat by my grandparents and sat home and watched TV every single day of the summer. That's what I did.
You know, I didn't go to camp a lot, and I had friends that went every single year. But I did go like once or twice, and it was cool. It was a cool experience, but it was scary at first, too.
Yeah, my 5-year-old is starting camp today for the first time. So last night we were lying in bed and we were talking about it.
Tomorrow's the first day of learning camp. You excited?
Yeah.
What are you most excited about?
The games.
Oh, the games? You're going to play so many math games and reading games, right?
Yes, I'm going to be so excited. I'm going to have so much fun and make new friends.
You are going to make new friends. How are you going to make new friends?
By talking.
Good. You're going to talk. What else are you going to do?
And I am going to look... In the eye.
Yeah, you're going to look
him in the eye.
And okay. What else?
That's good.
And be kind.
Yes, definitely be kind.
How many times do you think she has heard her mother say, you have to look people in the eye when they're talking to you? Look people in the eye for her to say that's how she's going to make new friends today.
Well, it's nice for her to be retaining that information. That'll take you very far in life, actually.
I know.
That's
I'm
good.
So proud of her. Yeah, so it's reading and math camp, and it's put on by the school, which
and
is good.
And it's not sleepover, though, obviously.
No. Yeah, it's so. Only for an hour and a half. It's really summer school is really what it is. Yeah.
Well, I had some like sleepover camps when I was younger, but not as like I had friends that would go away for 2 weeks at a time.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah.
I had friends that would go away for the whole summer. So
yeah.
What kind of camp did you go to? 1-800-330-9999. Patty.
I went to many, but I went to a sleepaway camp when I was 9 years old, and I absolutely hated it. But I remember so well, like right in the middle of the camp, like week, you know, after one full week, it was like a 2-week thing. There happened to be this one day that I got mail from my entire family, and it was like the best thing in the planet, and I finally stopped crying and could just enjoy the second week, but I never went back after that. It's actually like a Jewish camp for teenagers. Mm-hmm. And it started, I wasn't even a teenager. I was nine.
I was always jealous of my Jewish friends because they always got to go to summer camps and they would make the best memories. And like, I come from Italian.
How do you know you didn't go?
What? Because they would talk about it all the time and they would make lifelong friends. And it was almost part of like their culture.
It's culture. Yeah.
Yes.
No. It's cultural.
And
yes.
I was so jealous because they would come back with the best stories and these best friends from all over the place. And even now, like, I'll see my friends on Facebook or they'll send their kids the stories they share and like the rite of passage. I think that's, I don't know, I think it's great. I wasn't allowed to even sleep at anybody's house, so I would know nothing about like sleepaway camp.
Yeah, when I went to camp at like, I don't know, 7 or 9, it was like YMCA. They were slightly less organized.
You know, they make these camps the time of the life, you know, for these kids, but I just had anxiety.
Yeah.
And, couldn't be away from my family.
No, the first time it's rough. Yeah, but then, you know, like you said, that second week you had a great time. So I think that that's real.
Yeah.
First day of camp for my baby girl today. She's going to be going into first grade and she's all excited. It's reading and math camp.
It's a big camp.
I've pumped it up as much as I possibly can.
Right.
I mean, you're going to play so many games. So many games with your teachers.
Right.
So
math games. You're going to meet friends.
Games.
All
yeah.
that. It'll be fun,
yeah,
I'm sure. It'll be a good experience.
We got to keep her working and reading throughout the summer for first grade. Man, but remember when you got to go to camp? There's so many different camps now that kids get to go to. A little bit different from when we were young. But what happened at your camp? 1-800-330-9999. Mark, you went to camp?
My daughter goes to a 3-week sleepaway camp every summer called Frenchwood. Place is like a resort. Like, they choose activities every day from theater to water skiing to basket weaving. They have 6 activities a day, and it's insane. These kids get to do everything.
I want to do basket weaving. I want to do basket weaving. I didn't even know that we still had that as an option in America.
I can't send you to camp. I'm sorry.
I would love that.
It sounds pricey.
And when she goes for one session, I mean, but she meets kids up there that are up there for the entire summer, like 9 weeks.
No kidding. And their last name is Kennedy, right?
And they know how to basket weave so well.
They can basket weave like crazy.
Jessica, you went to summer camp?
So I progressed with summer camps, started going to a co-ed. My brother went to the same camp. Then my mom, set me up to go to a Girl Scout camp for a few years with the daytime camp only. And then I actually liked it so much, I wound up going to a sleepaway camp through Girl Scouts. And even when my parents told me at that point they couldn't afford it, I said, you know what? I like it so much. I'll go work as a camp aide there. I'll get my room and board for free by helping out with the younger girls.
I mean,
it was a fantastic experience. I went there for 4 years.
That's so great. At the same time, your parents are just there, heartbroken in the doorway going, she'll do whatever it takes to get away from us.
I mean, they sent me mail, and my brother was going away to sleepaway camp for years at that point through Boy Scouts, so they already knew the deal, kind of. They knew I was itching, so.
It's cool, though. The whole Girl Scout thing, I'm new to it because my daughter just started this past year, and I got to go to one of those camps, and it was just for, like, the day. But, like, there's so much to do there. There's swimming, and there's archery, and there's all these field day activities. Like, I could understand why you fall in love with it and want to be there.
It was so much fun. I really did make a lot of friends there. And the sleepaway camp wasn't through Suffolk County. It was through Nassau. Mm-hmm. But since Suffolk County Girl Scouts doesn't have a sleepaway camp, they also took girls from Suffolk County. And it was actually out in Hampton.
Oh, that's awesome.
So,
all right, a hotel there would cost you $1,500 a night. So you're better off sleeping in that cabin. Danny, what camp did you go to when you were growing up?
I went to a camp called Camp Arrowhead. It's in Lewis, Delaware, and it's across the bay from Dewey Beach. And I went there so many years, I ended up working there for a few years. It was awesome. I mean, it's like you see in the movies. It was meatballs type situation when you worked there. The really cool thing was, you know, once you put the kids down, basically one adult was in charge of checking in on the kids, and then we would kind of liberate the speedboat and go across the bay and dock at the Rusty Rudder at Dewey Beach and go hang out.
Yeah, party all night.
Hang out the, and then go back at like at sunrise and get ready for opening bell, like about two or three times a week. It's like the shenanigans were always great. And you know, it's true what they say, too. You do. I still have friends that I just know from camp that, you know, you catch up like that, which is pretty cool. My kids ended up going there and ended up working there as well. So
Camp Arrowhead sounds like a place where you're going to carry a buck knife on your hip, Anna, right? You know, it's definitely going to have archery. There's probably few kids that are going to get stitches over the course of that season.
Oh,
it sounds like a legit spot for that type of stuff.
No golf on a dead planet. Did you know that, Raven?
I guess.
That's what the protesters.
If I'm dead and the planet's dead, then there would be no need for golf anyways, right?
That's what the protesters had written on their shirts yesterday. So if you missed it, Scottie Scheffler and Tom Kim were neck and neck at the 18th hole of the Travelers Championship in Connecticut.
It was an incredible finish.
Okay. But when CBS returned from commercials, five protesters just ran out with those, like, those, what was it, like, smoke?
So you clearly didn't watch it.
I watched it 100 times.
No, but you watched the replay. You weren't watching it live.
They were
going right there. It was down to the final shot here. If Kim had sunk that putt, then they would have been going to the playoff, which they ended up doing at that point. They never stopped. Protesters ran out, and then all of a sudden the camera veered away, and then people were beeping, and it was bleeping, and all this. It was crazy.
Yeah, so here's the commenters.
Oh, boy. We've got a whole group of protesters here. And they've been tackled on the ground, on the green.
Those cops came, and they were like, boom,
yeah,
right to the ground.
Yeah.
It was so fast. Did they continue?
Police have responded quickly, but I see four protesters that have been handcuffed. They just came flying down the hill out of the gallery.
I love that we tackle them and just handcuff them immediately. Like, you have done a lot of other. They painted Stonehenge last week. They broke in. They painted. They tried to paint Taylor Swift's jet.
Mm-hmm.
Those people walked away, got a summons or whatever. At the golf championship, you get tackled and cuffed immediately in front of everybody.
I heard the bond was $500,000.
Good. Drag them out of there.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. $500,000.
That's what I read in one of the news outlets. I was like, is that possible?
I think that's fake. That couldn't be real.
Well, let me Google it while we listen.
Anyways.
Listen, there's some reaction from the crowd that I can't play because they were swearing at the protesters.
Yes.
But this one I thought was hilarious. If there's ever a time for a USA chant, it's when a bunch of protesters run out.
You know, listen, I don't want to sound calloused, but everybody's over the protesting. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like everybody's got, you know, a cause. And I know that means we're going to get an email or this, that, whatever. Somebody's going to call and complain. But people are just over it. They don't even care what your cause is for the most part at this point. They just don't care.
So, not to sound callous, because oddly we were speaking about this much earlier today, too.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand who takes these people seriously.
Nobody.
Like, if you're coming out there to spray paint the green and you're interrupting a game that people are having a nice time, like they're enjoying themselves, what are you doing and what are you proving and whose opinion are you swaying? I just feel like there's so many proper ways that you can do this to get your point across. Why do it this way where it's disruptive?
It's always the same people. It's always some retired or fired professor or something like that. And some trust fund baby. It's all it is. It sounds terrible. You know what? You can't bring this stuff up if you don't expect me to talk about it. Because I'm just over it. I'm over it. Stop blocking the highway. Stop blocking. Just stop.
So who won?
Oh, Scottie Scheffler won.
He won.
And it was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great. And then they had to come back and play off for the other shot. And, you know, Tom Kim missed it. He had a putt opportunity and he missed it there. But, I mean, they put this paint in all over these smoke canisters all over the green there at the end. And it looked like nobody knew how to clean up a lawn. My wife was like, why aren't they out there with like a shop vac or something like that?
I don't think they were prepared. That's why.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Amy and Axel. Amy, what's going on?
We have a roommate, so the three of us live together, and our roommate's boyfriend, he stays over at least a minimum of 5 days a week. And so I went to Axel. I said, hey, this guy needs to start paying rent, and we need to let our roommate know. Well, not rent, but, you know, just help out with the bills. He eats the food that's there. He showers. He uses the water, electricity. He needs to contribute. And Axel thinks I'm being overdramatic.
So you guys are in a relationship. You're not married, though, right? You're dating?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we're dating.
And this is a single roommate, but her boyfriend's always there. So it's really the four of you in this apartment, but on the lease, there's only three names?
Yes, it's only three names.
Okay.
Are you guys paying more? That's what I need to know. Are you guys splitting the rent evenly, you two versus her, or are you two paying a larger share of the rent?
We're paying a larger share of the rent than she is.
Okay.
So, I mean, he has his own place, but he's there more than he is at his own place.
Sure. No, I get it. Axel, what's your side of this?
I just don't want the guy's stuff in there. This is kind of my whole thing. Like, if he starts paying rent, he's going to feel more and more entitled to be moving his stuff in. And, I mean, the place isn't that big. It's a two-bedroom, so it's made for, I think, three is pretty much the max. I don't mind personally if he's there, you know? I mean, I get it. There's always this, like, transition period when you're dating, and theirs has gone on a long time. But if anything, I'd want to encourage them to get out, you know? I mean, it'd be great to have help with the rent, but I don't want another man's stuff in my place.
It's so funny. I didn't even think about that. Because if he loses his own apartment and he's got to come pay to live there, well, now all his stuff's got to come too.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Axel, you opened my eyes to that too. I had not even considered that. I mean, just thinking of the fact that somebody else that's in your house now has rights, right? Like, it's okay when somebody's a guest, even if he's there 4 or 5 days a week. Okay, some of those rules get a little bit lax, but he's still a guest. He doesn't have a vote. He doesn't have a say. He doesn't have the right. And you're right. Walking past somebody's dresser in the middle of the hallway and banging your hip into it every time. I don't know if I want that. I don't know if it's worth it. Huh?
Actually, you say you don't care that he's there all the time. Amy, do you care that he's there all the time?
Yes, I do care because he doesn't contribute to anything. Like, you know, like I said, he eats the food. He uses our toiletries. Mm-hmm. So he's just not contributing. So at least contribute something. Mm-hmm. If, you know, I'm not going to say move in,
right,
pay rent or anything. Just contribute something because, yeah, the whole moving in thing, no, we don't want that.
This is how it begins, right? This is how you start to resent somebody if they're not contributing. So, I mean, right, something has to be done one way or the other.
Well, that's the question I have about your roommate. Is she somebody that you knew before you moved into the place, or was she just like somebody you found online or whatever to help you pay for your rent?
Yeah, we're friends. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what makes it kind of awkward. Yeah, it makes it, because we don't, you know, we don't want to get in the middle of our relationship. We don't want our relationship to be tarnished. But this is almost like a 5-day freeloader.
Yeah.
Living with friends can be tough.
So what do you think? Should they ask their roommate's boyfriend to chip in for the rent since he spends so much time there? Or is that just going to open a bigger can of worms that they don't want a fourth roommate?
What's the alternative? You keep your mouth shut? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Okay, Amy and Axel, they've got a situation. They have a third roommate. The two of them are in a committed relationship and they have a third roommate that lives with them. And it's an old friend. Now, their old friend, though, has got a new boyfriend and spends about 5 days out of the week at the apartment with them. And Amy's had enough. She's like, we didn't sign on for the four of us to live here. We signed on for the three of us to live here. And if this guy's always going to be here, we need to tell her that he needs to start paying towards the rent.
You know, oftentimes when you get in a situation like this, it's not even about the fact that you actually think that your bills are changing. Because, you know, what are we talking about here, right? A little bit, a few more showers in an apartment. You might not even be paying the water bill. You know, what are we talking about? A little bit more electricity? These are just the things that you bring up because you resent the fact that somebody else is in your space the whole time. Now, here's the difficult thing. You're all adults. How can you tell somebody else that they can't see somebody or have guests at a place that they pay rent to be at? They have rights same as you. It's a difficult situation.
And Axel's got a very valid point because he says if we tell him that he has to pay rent, well, then he's going to move in, and that we don't want either because he's going to bring all his stuff, and this place isn't made for four of us.
Yeah, he just says it's going to be uncomfortable for everybody.
All right, let's see what they're saying on social media, Facebook, Instagram, at Anna and Raven.
Imagine you start having him pay the water bill, and he's like, no problem, I'm just going to fill this pool up outside on the balcony.
Mm.
I'm just going to fill these barrels. Like, it makes no sense, but you have all these horror things in your mind.
Jenny says, I think it's time for them to get a place together and move out. I mean, that... It's kind of true, but sometimes your finances don't always allow that.
Sure.
Let's see.
But beggars can't be choosers, right? If it's about your bills.
Angel says if he's storing clothes there, then he has to contribute. What? Is that a real thing?
How many clothes?
Like a
shirt?
He's
got two pairs of pants and a toothbrush?
A pant? A pair of moutons? What is it? Dougie says Amy's side. He's got to pay. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. If your roommate had a boyfriend that was spending 5 days a week at your apartment, would you ask that guy to pay for the rent too? That's what's going on with Amy and Axel. Amy and Axel have been in a commitment relationship for a long time, and they moved in with one of their mutual friends, and everything was fine. The three of them shared this apartment. They paid more, whatever. It was all equally divided. But now, the roommate's friend, the roommate has this boyfriend who's always there, and Amy thinks it's only fair if he starts contributing to all these bills.
Yeah, it's weird when you're in this situation, right? When you're living with people. First off, it's weird to be the individual that's living with the couple because, you know, there's always inherent things that come with living with a couple. And then it's something else to be the couple that was in there and had this established kind of, you know, balance in their house. And now all of a sudden there's another body there, right? And it's just uncomfortable for them. But Axel makes a great point. He says, listen, if we charge this guy, that means he's entitled to bring all his stuff here. He's entitled to do whatever he wants. He can put whatever he wants in the fridge. He can have his feet on the coffee table. He can do anything.
It's true. I was like, wait a minute. All of a sudden, now you get all this furniture moving into your small apartment, and you're like, what? Just for your extra few $100?
Yeah, his stuff is in your shower? Okay.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Carolyn and Kathy, whose side are you on?
The wife. We definitely think that something should be said to their roommate and say, like, your boyfriend's here 5 days a week and he's becoming a freeloader.
Yeah.
And how about her going to his house sometime?
Yeah, that would be nice, right? If you could only make people do that. I've been in that situation before. You know, it's tricky, though, Anna, right? Like, because, again, you know, so what do you do? Do you ask for a little bit extra for the bills? You don't want him to be on the lease. You don't want that, I don't think.
Andre, what do you think?
I think it's absolutely ridiculous to expect the boyfriend to pay the rent, especially when he's not on the lease.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm paying the rent, I want some rights. But you definitely do get the sense when your welcome has been overstayed.
Hey, Cindy, whose side are you on?
I am on both of their sides.
Nope.
I think they both have really great points. And I wanted to say that what they should do is approach the roommate when the boyfriend isn't there and be very specific in their wording and say, because he showers and uses electricity, we're now going to split utilities half and half rather than in thirds.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Amy, our audience agreed with you. If he's using all the things, it's only fair for him to contribute. I guess you can say, like, we don't want him to move in his stuff, but he should be giving us a few bucks every month for all these things that he uses.
It's an interesting amendment to the conversation.
It's a weird conversation to have, period, with somebody.
Yeah.
But you're free to have it.
Great.
Axel, you're going to be cool with it? You're going to lead the conversation, right?
Honestly, yeah, I don't want to be the one writing up this specific car. If you pay this much, then you get to use this, that, and this, and then I got to be enforcing the rules. You know, I don't want that. You know, if anything, like, I'd rather, I don't know, try and figure it out. Just, I don't want another couple there either. I think that's my whole thing. Like, I don't want to be like, you know, like, no, this isn't a TV show.
Well, good luck. Maybe you guys are going to need your own place pretty soon.
Right. I feel like the logical thing is you just figure out your own finances and you move somewhere else on your own. Clearly, you're established enough in your relationship that you've done this, that you're ready for that. So giddy up, you know?
Yeah, I find it interesting the premise of counting somebody's, you know, toilet flushes or, you know, numbers of times that they delve into the Doritos. When it gets like that, you know if it's gone too far. Good luck, guys.
Thanks.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $200. Thanks to Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system. Hi, Fran and Dave. You guys playing together today?
Yes, we are. Hi, Anna.
Yes, we are.
All right, well, let's do this. I would love for you to win this cash. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, hasta la vista.
Good luck, you two.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, Raven's walking out of here. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. You're going to have 3 seconds to answer each of these 5 questions. I'll bring them back in. Same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins, ties to Raven. Cool?
Sounds great.
All right, let's do this. Now, I have to let you know that I think I made these questions too easy today, so I need you to nail all 5, okay?
All right.
No pressure. Number 1, Netflix dropped a new documentary called America's Sweethearts, and it chronicles being a cheerleader for what Texas NFL team?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Number two, Post Malone is set to debut his new country album next month at an event in Nashville called A Night in Nashville. Post Malone is featured on what recent Taylor Swift track from the Dead Poets Department?
Fortnite.
Number three, rapper Kendrick Lamar performed his diss track, Not Like Us, five times during his pop-out concert. Lamar is famously feuding with what actor?
Drake.
Number four, Ellen DeGeneres is returning to comedy with a Netflix comedy special that's coming out in August. She voiced what character in the Finding Nemo film?
Dory.
And number five, Suri Cruz graduated from high school in New York over the weekend. And while Tom, he was in London watching the Taylor Swift show, he missed it. Suri was listed in the pamphlet as just Suri Noel without the Cruz. Who is Suri's mom?
Nicole Kidman. Katie Holmes.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yep.
All five for Fran and Dave.
Pretty impressive. $200. Let's see how I do.
All right, let's see. Okay, number one, Netflix dropped a new documentary called America's Sweethearts, and it chronicles being a cheerleader for what Texas NFL team?
It's got to be the Cowboys.
That is correct. Number two, Post Malone is set to debut his new country album at an event next week in Nashville called A Night in Nashville.
Okay.
Post Malone is featured on what recent Taylor Swift track from her album, The Dead Poets Department?
Fortnite.
That's right. Number three, rapper Kendrick Lamar performed his diss track, Not Like Us, five times during his pop-out concert.
They really don't like him.
Nope. Lamar is famously feuding with what rapper?
Drake.
That's right. Number four, Ellen DeGeneres is returning to comedy with a Netflix special that's filming in early August.
Heard about that.
She voiced what character in the Finding Nemo film?
She's Dory.
That's right. And number five, you need this to tie or it's going to go to Fran and Dave. Suri Cruz graduated from high school in New York over the weekend. Tom Cruise, her dad, not there. He was in London watching Taylor Swift.
You know, those tickets are hard to get.
Suri was listed in the pamphlet just as Suri Noel without the Cruz. Who is Suri's mom?
Katie Holmes.
That's right. I knew I made him too easy. I should have put a harder one. All right, listen, here's the good news, guys. You are the fourth set of people to tie Raven with five. So as soon as I get one more person that ties him with five, we're going to bring back Redemption Week when you'll have your chance to beat him and win some cash. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
Well, good luck. Better luck next time. Right? Enjoy that shirt, guys. $300 tomorrow, Anna.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.